So I just got to Sea of Dreams, and they're still getting it set up, although you can hear it's kind of like a party about to happen. I saw a marching band warming up. There's a woman hanging upside down from the ceiling doing some stretches. And there's clowns in various stages of clowniness kind of wandering around with important looks on their faces and carrying staple guns. We're celebrating New Year's Eve, and it's the San Francisco Concourse here in San Francisco. We're on location, and this is Sexploration with Monica. I'm here with an artist of, are you in the love tech community?
No, actually, I live in Brooklyn. I'm just visiting San Francisco, but this piece has been sort of going around at several San Francisco parties.
So tell me more about it. It's called Infinite Sympathy?
Yeah, it's called Infinite Sympathy. It is a dual kaleidoscope, so it's a kaleidoscope with an eye opening on each end. So it invites two viewers to simultaneously look at each other in the eye through the kaleidoscope.
So what inspired you to make this piece?
Well, I suppose I had been doing a lot of digital video effect work, and I wanted to try taking that work and moving it into a more analog domain, namely with mirrors.
The real world. I mean, I guess they're both kind of real worlds, but this one's in person.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was working with interactive video, so it'd be, you know, a lot of these things where you see yourself in through some video effect or whatnot, but rather than using digital video effects, I wanted to try to just use mirrors.
What reactions have you been getting from people who experience your piece?
People seem to be pretty into it. Sometimes one person will look through and not realize what's going on, but then eventually they'll find a partner. And
right, because you have to have two people to get the full effect.
Yeah, it's not very interesting if there's only one person looking through.
Let's give it a shot, shall we?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even get your name.
I'm Toby Shockman.
So it's basically like a copper or brass tube, and it has lighting, and it's like a kaleidoscope inside. And we're looking through, and we see eyes, and it's like his eyes are going around in a flower, and I can actually see him smiling at me. What's going on over there for you?
Well, I'm doing the same thing, but looking at your eye.
It's interesting. What are some of the echoes that you're trying, like what are some of the things that you want people to experience as a result of this? What's your goal here?
So when you first look through, sometimes you think you're looking at your own eye because there are all these mirrors and reflections going on. But then you think about it a little bit, or you realize that my eye isn't brown, or it is brown and your eyes are sort of greenish blue. So I'm looking at your eye, and then what are you seeing? Well, you're seeing my eye, and seeing each other as reflections.
And why is it called Infinite Sympathy?
It's based on a quote from Buckminster Fuller, who had this idea of the phantom captain. Basically, if there's a computer, it just sort of does its processing, but it's being driven by some human that's operating it, the phantom captain. And so if we think of our own bodies as machines, you know, in sort of a deterministic world, stuff just happens, but there also seems to be this sort of spirit that drives the machine, which Buckminster Fuller called the phantom captain. And when he wrote about this, he said, the phantom captain has, I believe, infinite capability to recognize infinite sympathy with every other phantom captain.
Like we recognize each other's beingness or something.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that we can, you know, it's amazing enough to think that we are a being in the universe, and then to recognize that there are other similar phantom captains inhabiting the other bodies that we interact with.
That's very good. I'm so glad I talked to you. We're going to be looking into all sorts of art projects and different kinds of collaboration artists. There's the Amrita Bollywood dancers, and we're going to talk to them. And we're also going to try to explore the point of pleasure and celebration and joy and connection and why we need celebrations like this. So I think it'll be an exciting night.
Cool. Thank you. And happy 2012 to everybody.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com.
So the party has started. And I'm in the fractal forest, and you may not even know what a fractal is. It's like some kind of mathematical, spirally thing that's everywhere. And to explain that a little bit more, I have people from Love Tech, which I'll let them explain it, Rich Trapani and Justin Myers. So what is Love Tech?
Love Tech is an organization that supports and nurtures and brings together the greater community of musicians and artists that are really doing new and exciting things with music technology. So we put on events and gallery things and art stuff and just things like this to sort of bring together and sort of grow new ideas.
So what puts the love in Love Tech? And what is your, I mean, why do you even have love in the name?
So Love Tech wouldn't exist without new and innovative technology and the exciting possibilities that it has to offer. But the thing about technology is, well, often it doesn't really work quite yet. It's something that has been invented after you were born and still a totally new field of exploration. But to explore this new and exciting territory, it's really difficult. And it takes a lot of love and care in how you approach these, you know, amazing new electronic creations. And in order to do that well, we bring people together, people that want to explore new music technology, new interactive art installations that take all sorts of inputs, sensing your body, doing things, and transmitting it into sound, into light, into amazing new expressions to unfold a new creative universe. And we need the support of each other to explore this universe because it's so vast and it's so unpredictable and it's changing so quickly that you can't all do it alone. You need to share resources, pull it together to really make this art and, you know, keep people excited and engaged about the future.
Thanks, Rich. So, Justin, tell me more about the interactive component. Why is it important that the art here is, a lot of it, really interactive?
That's really the goal of the Fractal Forest, is everything here is interactive. And we feel it's important to create these things that people can interact with in the hope that they will come together and ultimately interact with each other and share an experience and, you know, really create a lot of community and connection through these pieces.
Right. So tell me about some of the pieces that are here tonight. We've already talked about infinite sympathy. It's when two eyes stare into a kaleidoscope into infinity with each other. But tell me about some of the other pieces that are here tonight.
Sure. There's a variety of them in the Fractal Forest. Most of them play with light and with sound, and many of them are multiplayer. And the ones that are multiplayer are really the ones that bring the community together the most. So I'll talk about the Rematrix and the Mini Masher. Both are two kinds of jam boxes. A jam box is sort of a sequel, a major upgrade to the old school jukebox. Instead of just playing a song that you like, you get to make the song and you get to make it with your friends. And it doesn't matter how much musical experience you have. The boxes actually allow you to play with them by pressing buttons and moving joysticks and singing into microphones. There's really fun tactile interfaces that create music in a way that automatically harmonizes and automatically synchronizes in the same tempo. And so for example, the Rematrix is a four-player instrument, and you've got someone on the microphone singing into it and changing their own voice. You've got someone modifying the bass line and wobbling out really cool, deep electronic bass sounds. You've got someone generating beats and chopping them up and having a lot of fun with the rhythmic section. And you got someone creating like lead harmonic melodic lines and guiding the flow of the interaction. And all the people on the instrument are facing each other, looking at each other, playing with the instrument. And there's really no way to sound bad on the thing. But if you are already really a talented musician, it goes deeper and there's a lot of depth to like the controls and the sophistication with which you can play music together. And the Mini Masher is a very similar one. for three players. And there's different sound patches by creative artists like Moldover and Ill Gates. And I think we just added a new one too. I forgot which one it is.
Cool. Well, Justin, tell me about the Time Machine. I know that that's one that you worked on.
Yes, me and Rich collaborated on the Time Machine together. It's sort of a interactive sculpture, but it has a interesting story behind it. It was actually developed at the same time as the atomic bomb, and it was made to end World War II, but they sort of fried the circuits and can never really complete it. So they eventually put it on, sold it online as scrap. So Rich got it and worked on it to discover music from the future, like what that would sound like. But there's an organization called the Center for Interdimensional Research, and we've been noticing that there's some anomalies in the timeline, so we developed this new control interface to investigate these anomalies and see what's going on. So we brought the Time Machine here to Sea of Dreams because we know there's a lot of really creative, active, aware minds here at this party, and maybe they can help us understand what's going on with the timelines.
Interesting. Interesting. So people play with the machine and you get data from their playing?
Well, you get to peer into this vortex, which is actually a view of the timeline moving in front of you, and the anomalies that you get to manipulate with this new interface are a little bit beyond our understanding. We want people at this event to come because we know they think outside the box, they have creative minds, and maybe they can help us understand this strange universe of time travel and fractal anomalies, and you know, explore it together and find the reason why we're all here traveling through space and time.
Ah, right, exactly. Why are we here? Why are we traveling through space and time? Which actually brings me to the most important question on Sexploration with Monica tonight. I've been thinking a lot about this, especially because I think that sometimes, especially when we get to working and we're all kind of American workaholics and we do the, 40-hour work weeks or more. Sometimes we do more than 8 hours a day. Sometimes we just, all we value is money. And I think about New Year's Eve and how everyone comes out to celebrate. And we do it once a year. And why is that? Why is it so important that we come out to a party? Why is it so important that we come together and are like, woo!
I think it takes us back to a simpler place. A lot of times people describe things like this as like a playground for adults. Well, I don't think adults and children are really that different when you get right down to what's important. So I think things like this sort of, open our minds. And we spend a lot of time thinking about, our jobs and our day-to-day lives. But if you look at a kid, they see like an interesting blinking light. Like that may be cool to them. And this sort of gives us an opportunity to go back there and reminds us, where we came from, who we are, and who we still are, inside of us. But I think that's really one of the most important things about it.
Right. So what are some of the things that you're doing here to create play and interaction and community, Rich?
Well, all of our installations are, by design, highly interactive. They're made to attract you from afar by glowing with strange, interesting colors and looking beautiful. Then when you approach it, there's all sorts of interfaces to touch and play with and, create some kind of, a change on the experience. So whether it's projections that are moving with new imagery that are responding to your hands waving in space, like Tim Thompson's amazing space palette, or you're creating music by pressing buttons. All of them are like giving you a palette of tools that are like really enjoyable, really beautiful sounds, really beautiful visuals, really exciting things to touch and play with. And they're all in a framework that allow you to do it with other people beside you. They can see what you're creating, they can add their own into the mix and create this new playground of new technology. And it's by design, we want people to have that experience through this medium of new technology to create amazing art, the art of sound and light and play that brings us closer together through sharing our experiences.
Rich and Justin, is there anything else that you'd like to share about Love Tech or your work kind of merging community and technology? I mean, we have Sexploration with Monica listeners in all sorts of far-flung places, Beijing, the Middle East, different parts of Europe. Anything that you'd like to share about your work or your aspirations or the point of all of this weirdness?
We're really not an exclusive community. You know, if you're interested, you know, we welcome you. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, contact us. You can go to lovetech.org and you can contact us through there. If you want to be part of it, you know, we welcome you, and you're welcome to come and be a part of all of this and share.
Cool, Rich.
So Love Tech's been going on for, we're about to have our 3-year anniversary, which is really exciting. We're going to announce that on lovetech.org, and be sure to sign up for the mailing list if you want to hear about our events. And we are excited to reach out to new artists and get people engaged working together and tackling these new technologies and, you know, turning them into amazing new musical devices and creative experiences. So no matter where you are in the world, if you want to, you know, just experience some of the things, we have a bunch of videos that we're uploading of what we do. We're very open source in how we share what we create, because we want to accelerate this art form. And, you know, contact us, like Justin was saying. It's a very open community. Email us, join our Facebook group, join our mailing list, and we'd love to hear about what your new ideas are and how we can spread the same vibe and energy of Love Tech to wherever you live.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, guys. Rich Tapani and Justin Myers of Love Tech. Thanks, guys. As the partially naked man in just the loincloth and the eyeliner walks by, and everything is in full swing, I come upon someone who's actually making a mural right now on these sheets of plywood, and it's all swoopy, and maybe you can tell me more about what's going on here. Ian Ross, artist Ian Ross, welcome to Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I'm very inspired by nature and graffiti, so I'm just kind of, everything I paint is spontaneous, and I'm just going with the flow, and part of the flow tonight happens to be these big annoying lights that are in my face, so I'm trying to deal with that and make it so that people can see what I'm doing, because I can't see it.
Totally. Well, so we're here, and we're celebrating New Year's Eve. We're celebrating, oh my God, midnight. It's the end of the year. So we all have to, like, get together and party and have a huge celebration of 7,000 people. So what I've been thinking about is why it's so important for people to celebrate.
I am thinking about the same thing. As I stand here painting, and I feel the energy of everyone walking by me, and I'm celebrating myself, so... I think it's something about the passing of the year, you know, that's... significant, that we want to somehow highlight that.
Yeah, shake our hands and go, woo!
Move ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Why is it so important that we dance? Why is it so important that we do something fun? Why is it so important that we relax a little bit? Why do we do this every year?
It's primal. It's a human need to let loose and work out the kinks, you know?
That's right, yes.
Exactly. Kinks. Just gotta let go sometimes, you know? I think that's a big deal. And people obviously need to do that, and this is a part of that. So.
And you know, I've been thinking a lot about, like, what is therapy? They have art therapy, they have dance therapy, they have play therapy. You know, they probably have dance and, you know, like, they probably don't have drinking therapy, but most of the things that we're doing here tonight at Sea of Dreams, it's kind of a way of expressing therapy. Do you find that there's therapy when you paint?
Definitely. I definitely find there's therapy when I paint. It's a release. It's a form of expression that's personal and unique. And for any real artist, I feel like you really don't have any choice but making your work. It's just that burning desire that underneath everything that you have to acknowledge. Otherwise, you're kidding yourself. So you know, it's very important to do whatever you have to do, put yourself out there. For me, live painting is a good way to put myself out there and meet people and see what I'm all about, you know.
And express yourself.
And express myself, that's right. Get reactions.
Oh, yeah, right.
Uninhibited reactions.
Uninhibited.
Yeah, that's right. Pure uninhibited reactions to what I'm doing and, you know.
So have you ever had the experience of, like, just painting something without any real agenda, and then you look at it later and you're like, oh, I think I know where that came from?
Everything I do is that, exactly, yeah.
Tell me more about that.
I never have a plan. Everything I paint is spontaneous. So it's always just totally organic, like the way plants grow in nature, and there's patterns and shapes that I come back to, but I really try not to have any idea what's happening and just react to the piece as it reacts to me and the people around me and the music and energy and everything. So
tell me about what you're doing right here with the plywood and the swoopy and the very, floral. It's almost like chrysanthemum, only kind of a path.
Plywood just is the thing that's easiest to preserve after this event and attach to a fence. You know, it's just... I don't know. I mean, what does it look like? Does it look good?
It looks like... Okay, so it looks like fractals, and we were just in the fractal forest, so you have these very organic, kind of spiraling, very, like, petal-like, and it's kind of like a progression that goes from one panel to the other in tones that are gold and purple, and you're using lots of, like, highlights and some black. Yeah. Looks like flowers. Only like a long swoop of flowers. And almost a little bit like street graffiti, too.
Yeah, it's a process that I've developed for about 20 years. It's very focused on being in the moment and reacting to the piece as it develops. So once there's a line or a shape or a color, then there's something there. There's a composition, and I can react to that composition as a human. So it's this relationship that develops, and every minute that goes by, the piece becomes more involved, and the relationship becomes more, hopefully, provocative, you know, depending whether or not anyone gives a shit.
Whether or not you actually evoke an emotion, right? And, provocativeness is often like, oh, someone's dressing provocatively, it's sexy, you know, it gets a reaction. Yeah. So something that you brought up earlier was being in the moment. And as I've been doing sexploration with Monica over the years, I often find sexuality experts, whether or not they're tantra teachers or they're dominatrixes or they're submissives or they're clinical sexologists talking about chronic pain management, generally their work, it's about being present in the moment. It's about surrendering to what's really real for you and really trying to understand what's real for the people that you're with and the space that you're in. Let's talk a little bit more about art and the importance of being present in the moment.
I think it's just much more valuable than planning something out and replicating it, or replicating a photo. I think all we have is the moment, you know? All we have is this time that we're in, and, you know, next year it's all gonna end, right? This is our last hurrah.
Right, 2012, sure.
The Mayans, they know. We've got 11 more months, so.
So, yeah, that's funny, isn't it? We always think, this is it! This is the end! We should live now, because now it's going to end. This is really it. This is really the end times. Yep. I mean, we've been saying it's the end time since, you know, 2,000 years ago, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we might as well party right now like it's 1999 again!
Exactly.
Woo! Thank you so much, Ian.
You're
Ross.
Welcome.
It's been such a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Maybe you can tell from all the screaming that it is officially 2012.
Dream, that's you from
there's a woman spinning around like a giant human disco ball. She's gold, and she's got a gold hula hoop, and she's spinning around like a, well, like a shiny disco ball, really.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Yeah,
my pleasure. Happy to be here. Thank you for recording it.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, we love it.
What I'm actually doing is it's about how important it is to celebrate.
Oh, yes. I totally agree. You know, we're in a stressful society. A lot of people are negative, and you need to balance it out with stuff like this. March 4th, marching band, you know, Anand Salon. Bring the balance back from all the negativity. So I'm 100% supportive of that. And more sex.
Interesting that it's something in our culture that we do every year. We're like, we need to celebrate and let loose and pop our cork and, you know, be all like, woo! And
too many people don't. Too many people hold it in and just take it. And I think if you don't let it go, and because I could celebrate and let it loose, I'm a lot freer and things don't grow on me. So.
Right, exactly. Well, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Monica, my name's Oren.
Nice to meet you, Oren. Thanks for saying hello. It's just after midnight, and there was an explosion of glitter and cheering and kissing and hugging and all sorts of craziness. And in the chaos, I've managed to find the leader of the Amrita Bollywood Dancers. Her name is Julie. Welcome to Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here.
And it's Julie Marcus, right?
Julie Marcus.
Awesome. Okay, so I've been wondering what, for you guys, the definition of Amrita is, because I've only heard it in a couple of contexts, and I was just wondering what that was about. Like, I know what Bollywood is. It's like Hollywood in India, right? So it's the dancers and all sorts of things. But what does Amrita mean to you guys?
That's a great question. Amrita literally means sweet nectar. It's a Sanskrit word. And there's a Hindu myth about one of the goddesses, Lakshmi, currying the Amrit and creating the world into its existence through the sweet nectar. So our dream and our vision was to bring a sense of sweetness and love through our dance.
So I watched your performance. It was very sparkly and very like the hand signals of India and lots of shimmying, lots of belly dancing moves. And what I'm wondering is how I've heard Amrita before is like a word for sacred nectar, but then this person was applying it to female ejaculate. And so like she thought like it was a way of like tapping into a hidden consciousness, and it was kind of something, I don't know that it would really necessarily have something to do with immortality, but that it's really sacred and special.
It was the immortal nectar
that
Lakshmi brought. It was the immortal nectar that she brought to the gods and goddesses.
Interesting. Right, because she did talk about it as divine nectar, right?
That's
interesting.
Right.
Interesting. So as I'm thinking about dancing and belly dancing in particular, it's very much about female power and like moving energy through your body in like sacred spirals. And isn't the origin of belly dancing about in the, like women would dance for each other in the red tent, something to do with like menses and childbirth, and it's all about like moving female energy through your solar plexus?
Yeah, definitely belly dancing, which within Bollywood there's some belly dance. You know, just like when they were moving through the gypsy trail, belly dance and Bollywood did have a lot of crossover. But Bollywood, which we're more heavy on Bollywood, is a little different for my take in terms of female dancing. It definitely is. But Bollywood, to me, was a liberation. Bollywood is a spoof. And, when I lived in India and Nepal, I studied sacred dance, tantric dance, but then I also studied classical Indian dance. And it's very rigid. And it's an incredible art form, very difficult. But Bollywood sort of took the strenuousness of it and took it to a new level of humor and fun. And so women were able to come forward and share things that they're not able to in regular society. Women could become something within a movie genre that you couldn't see in everyday life. They could unveil and dance and show skin. So it's extremely empowering for women, but it's in the dances themselves, if you know the words and you understand the words, there's always a double meaning. So the women are able to convey you know, messages of love, sexuality, sensuality, playfulness, flirtatiousness that you can't do every day in everyday life, in ordinary life in the past in India. So for me, it's kind of a revolution, even though it's very subtle.
Oh, that's so interesting, because you wouldn't think of, okay, the role of women in India and Nepal. I mean, certainly there's probably a lot of sexism there, a lot of really rigid gender roles, and women aren't really able to express their sexuality and their flirtatiousness, but then they can do a lot of winks and wiggles and all sorts of things, sparkling, and then and communicate a lot of interesting things when they're dancing.
That's true. Yeah, and so all the hand gestures have meaning, just like in classical dance, but then in Bollywood, they took it to a, I mean, they just toned it all down. So you have some simple hand gestures, but everything has meaning. The way that the eyes look, are they looking to the side? Or are you taking a veil off when you make the first mudra? Well, what are you saying as you take that veil off? You know, for me, I like to call what we do classical Bollywood, and then I have my own fusion, like hip-hop fusion or salsa fusion. So I definitely like to fuse it. But what the stuff that I really love about Bollywood is what I call more classical, which has a lot of the hand mudras, the gestures, the eye movements, the feet, because everything has a meaning. It's a story, which we've had in our own Western dance, but we haven't maintained it as much. So I think that's what I fell in love with about Bollywood and India.
Interesting. One of the themes that I was thinking about for New Year's Eve is that every year we come together and we are like celebrating the clock ticking, or having to write a different year on our checkbook. And we get together and we're like, woo! It's a different year! The clock just ticked over to 12! Woo! And it's almost arbitrary, but everyone celebrates, and everyone wears a sparkly dress, and everyone goes and they dance and they drink and they celebrate together, and there's people kissing people they don't know! And I'm just wondering, like, you know, why is this something that we do every year? What does it say about us? What does it say about our culture? What does it say about what we want? Why do we celebrate like this every year?
I think we have to. I mean, I think humanity needs markers in life. And one of the markers is an annual marker. And it gives us a chance to reflect on the year past and to set some goals for the coming year. But, you know, I think sometimes, and I think it's an ancient ritual to mark, to create markers that allow us time and momentum to reflect on certain things. And I think in this case, it's just transformation. What am I doing in the following year? What have I done in the year past?
It's interesting because we're coming into 2012 and many people believe, okay, it's the end of the Mayan calendar and oh my God, the end is near. But it's interesting how we've always had this end is near idea. We've always felt like the end is near. So we're always like, oh, let's live for the present. Let's live right now. And it's interesting how we're always like reinventing the end is near, you know? I wonder what it's gonna be like next December. I know it's not exactly New Year's Eve, but it's December 2012, isn't it? Yeah, interesting.
Right.
Well, thank you so much. It's been so fun talking to you. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your work or female power or expressing yourself through dance?
Come check us out. We're at amritadance.com, and we have shows all throughout the year, and we'd love to share our art with you.
I've found Mr. Fuzzy Philippe. He's just at the precipice of this seething mass of humanity that is Club Exotica right now. There's people dancing, and it's almost as if they're swimming on this huge cuddle puddle. And I was just saying, it's so amazing that for a society where we have all this personal space and all these boundaries and, you know, all this distance between us, that there could be a pile of 100 strangers on that enormous bed right now. It's amazing.
Actually, I would say writhing is a better word. And really, I think it's bullshit. I think the whole idea of boundaries is just because we're scared. People are scared. When they're not scared, they're like kitty cats.
Right.
And that's what I tell. That's what I just told a friend of mine here. I said, if you want to interact with people, interact with them as if they're kitty cats. Touch them as if they're kitty cats. Notice what they want. Notice how they react. And then forget about the boundaries. The boundaries are created in a moment, and they change in a moment. And if you assume what the boundaries are, then you'll never go there. And everybody will assume the boundaries are dead, and they'll become more solid. It does not matter where the boundaries are. You find what the boundaries are with each person as you move, as you involve, as you interact with them. And these boundaries move.
Right. I love what you say about the kitty cat metaphor. Like, you can tell if a kitty cat would like to be petted, if it, like, moves towards you, or if its ears go back, or if it hisses at you or something, then, you know. But, and I love that there can be, I mean, it's the art of creating a safe space for so many people to just relax their boundaries and relax their sense of personal space and not worry about who's touching them.
Well, I think people do care. I don't know if they worry, but they do care about who's touching them. I mean, this is not a free-for-all. It does. It could look like it, but it's not.
Oh, yeah, they're just sort of, you know, I mean, every now and then.
This is a bed full of little units of two, mostly two, sometimes three friends, people who know each other.
And they're just relaxed and kind of laying around and a little bit cuddly.
Yeah, they're a little bit relaxed. The point is, this is just a Club Exotica demo. To really do this well, we need to make sure that everybody is on the same page around what the boundaries are and what the rules of the game are. And if we say it's the rule of the kitty cats or something similar to that, then people know.
So Philippe is talking about the Club Exotica second base parties where they have very clearly defined rules and everyone reads a full disclosure about what the party's about. And you really think about like, oh, what do I want to, you know, what do I want to explore? What do I, you know, what do I, what am I a yes to? And he also makes chocolate, which I'm going to talk about that for just a moment, because I think one of the reasons that we constantly celebrate New Year's Eve is because we want to have one day where we just are like, woo! And we're celebrating and we're connecting and we're kissing people we don't know. And it's just like this one moment where we're like, I just want to celebrate and have pleasure.
I think we're creating a lot more of those days in the middle of the year.
Not just once a year anymore, kids.
Yeah. No. No, I think it should be anytime you want to.
So why is it so important to celebrate and connect and have pleasure? Why do we need that so much? I mean, why we create days for that in our culture? That's what holidays are all about.
This is such a leading question. It's not like you don't know the answer. It is our nature to connect.
I don't know what your answer is.
It's our nature to connect. It's our nature to enjoy each other. It's our nature to express. And we don't just express. We express so we are received and we were heard. And when we touch and when we receive touch, it is expression. It is receiving. When we speak and when we listen, it is expression. And it is receiving expression. I mean, and connecting is exactly that. It is giving and receiving that expression. That's what connecting is.
So I have this theory that when we exchange touch or we exchange even a conversation, we're like exchanging energy. We're like trading. And I love the way, like, when you smile at someone, they can't help but smile at you. And it happens here. Like, people are just walking around smiling. And it's just, I don't know, I love that we create this kind of environment that's all about joy and celebration and community and connection.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you encourage people to interact with people that they don't know at Club Exotica?
In general, we want people to push their edges. We want people to try things they never tried before. But we also want people to feel completely free to do anything they want. So it's about freedom, really. It's about freedom to be wherever you're at. It's also about freedom to push your edges. We just make it really easy.
Yeah, there's no virtue in being difficult. Is there anything else that you'd like to add for this, the first Sexploration with Monica broadcast of 2012?
Yeah, I think if you want to push your edges, go to clubexoticapresents.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Fuzzy Philippe.
You're welcome.
It is 3:30 in the morning and 2012. That seems novel. I don't know, I feel like I'm really close to turning into a pumpkin, but it's nice because they have some chill spaces here at Sea of Dreams. There's a couple of chill spaces in the VIP area, and Club Exotica has a really happening, I don't even know if you can call it a chill space, but people are laying on this huge bed, like in this big pile. It's really great. And then here in the Fractal Forest, we are sitting around. How many people do you think are sitting here on this rug with us?
About 30 people.
And everyone's kind of like cuddling and like with their friends and like, I mean, people are totally, like, more interacting with the people that they know than, like, random strangers. But definitely it's a kind of a group environment, and everyone's just kind of hanging out here and, like, chilling. And I guess, what did you say, Antennae is on right now?
Yeah, Antennae's on the West Stage right now.
So this is my friend Bobby, and we go, like, totally way back and, you know, been to Burning Man together and that sort of thing. And so we're hanging out here at the Sea of Dreams in the chill space here. And so I want to ask you the question that I've asked everyone tonight, and it's, why do we celebrate New Year's Eve? I mean, it's totally random. Like, the clock ticks and we're all like, woo! And then we totally kiss random strangers and we drink and we dance and we think about, like, hanging out with our friends and who do we want to hang out and all this stuff. So why in our culture do we have this sort of thing where we are like, we need to party, we need to celebrate. Why are we doing this?
We all have to have something to look forward to.
Like, something to celebrate. A reason to kiss strangers.
Exactly.
We're like, it's midnight! Woo! We've done some random calculations with the clock, and this is it. This is the time we kiss strangers. Let's kiss everyone! Woo! And I kind of like it. Like, I kind of like the weird randomness. Like, people don't really expect you. Like, you could totally kiss a random stranger, and then you can keep walking. It's amazing. Like, it's not like, do you know what I mean? It's not like, I mean, you could totally stop and hang out or whatever, but... No, certainly everything is available to you.
For sure.
So it's getting a little late. Dear listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this little adventure here at Sea of Dreams. I'm Monica Thomas, and this is another on-location episode of Sexploration with Monica.
You can download free podcasts at sexplorationwithmonica.com.
Bye.